Right, I think we're all here. Excellent. So we've got Aaron, Joe, Leon, Paul, and myself, Doug Belshaw. Does anyone know anyone else to add, or is that it? Oh, Christian still. There we are. That's Christian. I'm just going to add Christian in, and then we can get started.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, Christian. Hi. Right, let's
hi,
get
Doug.
Started.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear everyone.
Brilliant. Okay, because I think, isn't Ollie Bray trying to take part as well?
Is he? Right, I'll add him in as well.
And is it Nick Dennis?
I'll try and put Nick in as well, but I don't think he was answering last time I tried him.
Right.
I shall try again. Okay, so we've got a chat window open for if you want to put links in, URLs, things like that. If you want to make sarcastic comments, anything anyone wants to say. I don't particularly know how to mute people as we go along, so we're going to have to be very polite and take it in turns. Firstly, what I thought we'd talk about... Yeah?
Hi, Doug, it's Ollie Bray here. Just joined the conference.
Hey, Ollie. I'm just getting started. What I'm saying is that we've got a chat window open, which I can invite you to if you're not already part of. Yes, you're already part of that. And, right, starting off collaboration, starting off between thinking about things, ways in which we can use technologies to collaborate. Obviously, some of us are using those already, some of us aren't. Let's just go around the table, as it were, and talk about collaborations which you're involved in at the moment and how they're going. So, going down the list, Aaron, do you want to start us off? Nope, Joe?
Sorry, I had my...
Okay, Aaron, go on.
I was trying to unmute myself there, and I couldn't do it for some reason.
Okay, they don't want to mute themselves until it's there.
They don't want to hear you eating my pretzels and stuff. It's the only way I can shut my big fat mouth.
Fair enough.
Well, the main way I usually use collaboration between buildings and stuff right now is using wikis. Where if I'm going to give a presentation at a conference, I'll actually create a wiki with a little bit of information, post it out there on my blog, and then people all over the world will add what they think should be included in the presentation. So it's sort of like I don't plan any presentation at all. I haven't had a chance to do it so much with my students yet, since I'm in four different buildings, so I get to see my students four times a year right now. But that'll be changing next year when I go down to two buildings and I see them every other week.
Oh, okay. Can you give us an example, Aaron, of a wiki that you use?
Well, I've got one. It's at blogging101.wikispaces.com, and I'll post that in the chat group as well.
Excellent.
That one I created over a year ago.
And still...
And Steve Dembo actually helped me with promoting it.
Right.
It still gets edited every now and then, actually, yes.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Aaron. Joe, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I have set up a wiki, but I've not actually put anything on it yet, apart from, well, the idea really is to, as part of the flash meeting that we took part in, I don't know, about a month or whatever ago, to do with looking at podcasting and blogging in language teaching, and I thought I'd set a wiki up so that the people that took part in that, and other people obviously as well, could, put their ideas down on how to use blogging and podcasting, particularly in language learning. I've not really done that much with wikis. I've done a lot with blogs and podcasts, but there's quite a few people here that I'm delighted to have the opportunity to speak with, like yourself, Doug. I've been reading your blog for quite a long time now, and it's lovely to actually be able to get a chance to hear your accent.
Thanks so much, Joe. For those who don't know your blog, because I read your blog as well, do you want to put a link to your blog in the chat window?
Yeah, sure.
Christian.
Joe.typepad.com.
Good evening, gents. I'm, I suppose, the newest of the newbies, if there is such a phrase, but I just come across this purely by chance and frustration with a college 16 to 19-year-old that's got many excuses but not many solutions. So came across, I threw him an email, had a little bit of support back, and recognised a lot of these names as the famous people that I'm kind of following more than anything. So, and then fell into wikis to try and engage with a group of all male learners who are learning specifically through a sports course that we teach through the medium of football. And, I have to put my hands up and say we're learning at the same time, and with many errors, but lots of fun.
Now, Christian, you've got an excellent wiki. So could you put the link to your wiki in the chat window, please?
I can do that for you, and then I'll pause the panel.
Yeah. But just before you leave, Christian, for those of you who haven't visited Christian's wiki, Christian uses his wiki for loads of different purposes. For example, he was telling me the other day how, because it's a post-16 college that he works in, he can get his students to register online at home on the wiki, and then they can come in like half an hour or an hour later, and they can be working from home and then come in and collaborate within the classroom. So I think that's a really good use of a wiki. So thanks for that, Christian. Leon, next.
Yeah, basically, I'm coming at it from a strategic viewpoint. I'm doing a lot of work for NACE about collaborative learning. And there's a NACE initiative, the National Association of Advisors to Computers and Education. Basically, I'm heading up the CPD Pool initiative to try and find ways of using Web 2 technologies. And my role is within collaboration and collaborative Web 2 technologies. Some of the stuff I'm doing at the moment is feeding thousands of links into Zygo and keywording them. That's one of the things I'm doing. The other thing is I'm doing stuff like this. I'm actually sort of going out there and trying to find practitioners, like all of you, who are involved in it, and then try and pull that back into the sort of NACE framework. The other thing I do for my own benefit is to try and convince government and strategic movers and shakers to actually do some things to do with unlocking some of these Web 2 technologies. Yeah. Because the Web 2 technologies all are locked up, as far as I can see, and there needs to be a strategic role for government there. But they know nothing about it, it seems to me. And the you've more I try and...
Sorry, you've touched on an important point there, Leon. For people who aren't in the UK, Ireland, people like that, the debate's been going on in America, from what I've seen, as to whether to lock things down or not. In the UK, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. The local administration, education authorities, lock down anything which even looks vaguely scholarless. And you've got no chance of using anything which they deem to be irresponsible, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, basically, my view is that if you were to have a strategic view on this and put in APIs, put in sort of areas where you can have single sign-on, then your acceptable use policies locally would deal with it. There's nothing different to what people do when they walk into the physical school, as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent. So, Liam, just give me an example of a tool which you might use to collaborate with. You talked about Digo, I think.
Yeah, Digo is a wonderful tool. It's like Delicious, except that you can keyword it, you can put up links to web pages, you can highlight the web pages and see other people's highlights. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing about Digo is in your list of URLs and resources, you can have a drop-down that shows you a snapshot of the web page. So you don't have to go anywhere else. It doesn't jump out to another web page. You can actually look at it within the actual Digo tool. And that's really useful. It's the most useful thing I've come across recently.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Dan. Ollie, you're up in the colder climates, aren't you?
That's right, and certainly today it's been absolutely freezing up here. really, I mean, my main sort of use of collaboration is really through my blog. I'm sending a couple of links through now. I guess there's three projects that I'm really involved in at the moment. I mean, apart from my own blog itself. And that is in East Lothian. We've been working on a project which is called Excel, which is excellence teaching in East Lothian. And as part of that, we've actually put out a WordPress multi-user platform, and we've made it available to anybody within the authority and beyond to set up their own Excel blogs and to become part of that. And what these blogs do is they feed into a central homepage, and we're developing a new homepage at the moment. It's going to be called EduBuzz. But what that's really allowed us to do is to get a real feel for what's going on in our East Lothian schools. You will have heard of that, which is going to be our national intranet up here. And in East Lothian, we've been involved in testing the pilot of that. And one of the great collaborative tools that are built into that system is something called MirrorTech, which allows video conferencing, between anybody that's involved in Glow.
Excellent, thanks very much. It's certainly something which attracted me. I applied for a job recently in Scotland, mainly because of the Glow network and the way it's going to be like a countrywide intranet, as it were.
That's right,
it seems fantastic. Thanks very much for that, Ollie.
No problem.
Paul, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I guess if I look at my piece of paper, we started out podcasting. It was something I'd wanted to do for a long time. About just over 12 months ago, I started podcasting stuff to a site called Podomatic from school. We suddenly found a kindred spirit and a fellow podcasters who started emailing us from New Zealand. And soon we worked out that we were both could access Skype from our schools, so we began to Skype call each other, which all culminated back in about November with my kids coming into school at 8 o'clock at night to have a Skype call live with their pals in New Zealand. And we've carried on the link with them quite a lot. But from that, we've gone into blogging quite a lot. We've got class and school blogs. And we've actually got some more classes within our school blogging, which is great. Really, really good stuff. More recently, we've gone into using Class Blogmeister, Dave Warlick's blogging site, where now I've got kids that are eight. I had 4 or 5 blog posts from home today of kids that were 7 and 8 that just wanted to get the things they've been doing just up so people could see them. And it's really fab. So, and we've, again, from that, we've got links now with Canada, with the US, and we're just developing and seeing how far we can push it. Okay, my kids are quite young, but it's just trying to give them aspects of knowing that the world's quite a small place and they can talk to people anywhere.
So you're in the primary sector, aren't you?
Absolutely, very much so.
Right, okay. I presume you're aware of Tom Bowers?
Oh, Tom, yes. Yeah, well, I linked up with Tom quite a long time ago when he was doing the Google Earth stuff. But I'm going back to what was it? Who was talking about Leon about blocking, or was it? Oh, horrendous! I mean, I've got to the stage now where I send constant emails off to our people to say, "Can you let me have access to Podomatic? Can you let me access to Flickr?" And they must think I come from another planet asking for all this stuff.
Well, I've got a tale to tell about that. About 12 years ago, I used to have FTP into my local authority, and we used to do flash movies with 8-10-year-olds. And we could FTP them up straight onto the web. And then the corporate people came in, and I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't even put a picture up. So I've got I sympathize, because I think that really is the thing that really stops any progress happening.
Right. Just before we progress, any time we speak, we're going to have to say who we are, because otherwise I'm going to get confused. And second thing, can we start talking about, perhaps, whether we're doing things in spite of our school, which I think is the case in a lot of cases, or if we're doing things with our school's full approval. I'll start if you want. I'm doing things pretty much behind my school's back.
Join the queue.
Anyone else?
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Susie. I'm not right. How are you?
Well, Christine's on the phone with someone else. Anyone else?
No, Doug, I know you're from colleagues. You know, we're 16 to 19 in college, so we're a little bit more independent of the system. We have full access to the internet and the joys of Bebo. I wonder if our students do much more than Bebo one another. It's becoming a real problem. Fantastic if you can join them, but it's certainly not as exciting doing your classwork as it is seeing how many posts you've got or boyfriends you've made. And it is a serious, serious, or girlfriends, or whichever, let's be PC. But,
that's not.
at least we don't have that trouble. The boys hate girls and the girls hate the boys, so we're okay.
we have real problems. But what you've got is, in the post-16 sector, it becomes an issue of money, and you have those that have and those that don't. And we're finding it very difficult to really engage our staff in to do this stuff. And I've seen Paul's work, and I've come across him in one or two sites. And, you know, I do think it's people like Paul that are enthusiastic that take it forward. We, however, you know, just don't get those opportunities. And I wish Paul Wills was here, because he was saying that on the new PGCE, which is the qualification for new teachers in England, they cover 6 hours of ICT. That's it, in a year's course.
I don't think he even did that. I mean, I did my PGC 3 years ago, and I don't think we even did that. I never saw a computer once. Yeah. And in fact, they were amazing. They were amazed that I had my own website. You know, I was held up as a paradigm, even though I thought, you know, every single teacher should have one. Anyway, right, how can anyone else sort of shed any light on whether they're doing things in spite of their school or the college, or whether they're doing things with their school's full approval or what.
Hi, Douglas. It's Ollie here. A couple of things to chip in. First of all, in Scotland, for the secondary PGC course, I went in to deliver the IT lecture this year, and it was just an hour and a half long, and that's for the whole of the year, unless people had purposely taken the ICT elective. So as you can imagine, there was hardly any time at all to cover anything. It was quite scary always. The second thing is within our authority, I mean, they've been very very supportive of the use of social software, but it does vary very much between school and school. And I'll give you an example to illustrate that. The first example is that we, I recently set up, we've got a school trip that's out at the moment to France, and I set up a blog for them on Thursday when they went away. I think that blog's got something like 56 comments since they've been away, from parents, other members of the staff, etc., which is great. I was chatting to a colleague on Friday evening who's got a school in the authority as well, and their head teacher hadn't let them set up a blog for their school trip that was going away at the same time, right? Because they were worried of the publicity that it might create, and it could be negative, and there was no way of being able to control that. So, from my point of view, very much the authority is very supportive, but from school to school, it completes me. It's completely dependent on the head teacher.
Thanks very much, Ollie. That's certainly the case in a lot of schools, I think. I went to my head to say, can I start using, what was it, Think.com and IMBY, which are social networking for kids, basically. Yeah. And he said, yes, as long as you moderate everything that goes online, when this flood of emails is coming in, and I turned moderation off, and it's been absolutely fine. I have no problems at all.
Yeah. Can I come in there? It's Paul from Wales.
That's a pretty similar experience. I mean, originally.
So, Leon, who are you working with at the moment?
I'm working with a few C's because if they're on plane, they're allowed to go out there and do some interesting stuff. And I'm working with a lot of people who are doing mobile tech with kids, Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2, sorry, City Learning Centre, yeah, obviously. And they have them in some local authorities in the UK. I find that they're up to speed on lots of stuff, and they can unlock things and do stuff other schools can't. I have, seen Mr. DK at the In the Wild conference at Channel 4 yesterday, or the day before yesterday, can't remember. Yeah, I do know him. I will do that as well to Terry. I'm not typing. I can't type and talk. I'm not one of these people.
Sorry, Leon. I didn't do that on purpose, honest.
Okay, on it. Anyway, the point is that I'm also the NACIMIT. I mean, what I've understood is basically no one in government seems to understand Web 2, or the fact that Web, all the kids in Web 2, and the teaching force who are resistant, let's put it in the nicest way, don't either. So there needs to be workforce remodeling. So I'm making it my mission, really, to get out there and try and disseminate this and find some practical strategies to make it work. And I think some of the practical strategies are saying to people, look, you can't moderate everything. You can't moderate every single conversation that goes on in the playground that you don't know about. Exactly. And it's a similar situation, You know, I mean, I just think that people need to be realistic. I don't know if anyone's seen the Dana Boyd and Congress video cast that was on last night from was it Congress? She was talking with a couple of other experts about the sort of DOPA legislation and stuff like that. I'll try and pull that up in a second. But yeah. There are real statistics of what's happening are completely different to the public perception. So I think people need to get out there and say, look, the reality is this, we need to move on, we need to make strategies that actually are practical and people can take control of, and also we need to start embedding this in practice and convincing senior managers that there's more than slicked, where they do 3 days and then they come back and then don't do anything again, you know, that kind of stuff, I think is the reality. So I'm just trying to push this out and say, look, all the kids know about this.
Absolutely.
Well, why teachers know about it, but everyone should know about it, because we can't move things on, the nation on, the economy on, until you start to embrace this kind of stuff.
Excellent. Thanks, Leon. Alan, just coming back to you, because you've remained suspiciously quiet. What are you doing? I've seen your podcast. I've listened to your podcast. Tell me more about those.
Okay. Well, this is Aaron in the States again. I tend to try to work with my schools, although, to be honest, none of them has come out and said, you cannot do this with your kids. Most of them just say, you have to ask permission first. So I'll send home a permission slip, and once I get them all back, then I'll take the kids into the computer lab, and then I'll start telling them about a class blogmaster thing that I set up for them so they can actually go on at home. And
what would happen if you didn't get one of the results back? If you didn't get one of the slips back, what would you do?
Well, the last time I did it, I simply just waited until I got all of them back before I took them into the computer lab.
Oh, man.
If, at that time, I had that option because that was just with my art club, and that was an after-school program where, for some reason, even if they didn't show up for school, they tended to show up for my after-school program. I have no idea why. But if my superintendent is listening, I have never, ever done anything against school policy, so I just want to make that perfectly clear for the record.
Very good. So, Alan, you're getting kids involved in the podcast?
I try to, yes. My kids are starting to know what podcasts are. I think more of my students know what podcasts are than my teachers. Mm. Although, the way I run my classes, I'm not just supposed to go in and teach 30 kids how to do art. I'm also supposed to teach the class teacher how to do the lesson as well, because my lessons are supposed to reinforce their curriculum, their science lesson, their social studies lesson, and everything else. It's just how my particular program was set up. So as I'm showing a podcast by National Geographic on their LCD projector about something that they've just been learning about in class, I pull the teacher aside and say, hey, you know, you can get more videos like this if you go to your iTunes on your laptop there and do this. And you should see their eyes bug out of their heads when I tell them this. They didn't realize all that stuff was out there for free.
It's quite interesting how people don't realize that you can pull down podcasts free using iTunes. The number of people say, oh no, it's only there for music you buy from iTunes. It's no. It's quite interesting how people don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It needs to be, Leon was talking about embedding it on the ground. Last Friday, there was a teacher training day at my school. And due to the amazing organisation of my school, the day before, they said, oh, Doug, we'll put you in the timetable just for a quick slot, you know, on educational technology. I went, right, okay. So basically, I just stood there for about 4 or 5 minutes, and instead of kind of waxing lyrical about everything to do with educational technology, I just said, look, go to my website. If you want to get involved with podcasts, wikis, blogs, anything like that, just come and see me. About 10 teachers came to see me, after the weekend, being on my website, came to see me and said, we want a website, we want some way of having video podcasts, something like that. So the desire is there, it's just the technical expertise and the time more than anything, I think, to actually get involved in these things.
Brad, can I chip in on that point? Mm. You know, there is a great variety of skills in our students, and I do think our students who are learning along with me, once they've picked up some of these skills, you know, they've been very, very proactive with them, and they've complained about other staff, or they've even got one or two other staff to do something similar. And I do think on a collaboration front, there's a real room here for some cross-school mentoring, with either within students, maybe older students with younger students, or necessarily more experienced students with younger students, even the emos that you're posting up there.
Exactly. I put a link in the chat room just before about a discussion I got involved in because somebody emailed me to say that they were talking about my blogs, which I was using my students and my wiki and things like that. And in that discussion, they were talking about the difference between 20th century and 21st century teaching. And someone was saying, I can't really see any difference between the two. And the way that I see it, and something I'm writing my thesis on at the moment, is that the difference between 20th and 21st century teaching is that the teacher is no longer the fount of all knowledge, if they ever were. You know, you've got kids who know how to use things, they can kind of access knowledge, it's only a Google search away. You know, they also obviously have to filter it through reliability filters and things like that. But if it's only a Google search away, then the teachers need to be using the skills that the kids have got. For example, I've never really taught my kids how to use a blog. You know, I've said, go there, you know, go and you put your email address in and a password and things like that, and get started and play about with it. They've taught themselves. Now, when you've got a sort of 50-60-year-old teacher, to stereotype, and then they say, oh, I couldn't possibly get started with this. Well, the kids know how to use the technology. You just need to take control of the pedagogy behind it and use it for a specific purpose. And I think it's that message that we need to get across more than anything else. And what I'd like to explore is the way in which we can get that message across rather than just kind of talk amongst ourselves.
Can I leap in there, Doug,
and say
that really it needs to be completely embedded into what you do as a professional.
Mm.
And until it is, until your professional development is linked and you are using those tools or co-opting kids to help you use those tools, you're not going to do it. It's the buy-in situation for teachers. Until they get accreditation, there's a new e-pedagogy course I'll try and sort of pull that link up in a second, where they're actually, it's being sponsored by the Teachers Development Agency in the UK. And I think it's £800, but they're sponsoring, so it's only about £350. And it's quite a few points to a master's. So people might like to look at it. It's Oxford Brookes Uni.
Right.
I think it's Jill Potter. I'll try and pull that one out, okay?
Yeah, thanks very much.
Doug, the point you were raising about the pedagogy, that was posted on Flux, and again, you know, I can't remember, it wasn't too long ago, but they were looking for a new ology.
And they were saying,
you know, we've got pedagogy, we've got hegemogy, and they listed a couple of others which were beyond my meagre learning, but they were saying, you know, we don't actually have an ology or an OG for student-led learning.
Yeah, exactly. So I think who was it who was talking about this? It was someone, I'm involved in lots of different forums. One of them is the History Teachers Discussion Forum, which is actually a hotbed of educational technology. You wouldn't think that amongst history teachers. And one of them was saying, look, I've been to one school, I've been head of department, I've set up a blogging environment, I've set up a school website, and I've used educational technology there. But as soon as I leave, then I go to a different school, then it just completely stops dead. So what are we going to do to try and make it such that when you know the superstar teacher, as it were, leaves the school, or the person who knows about these things leaves the school, how are we going to make it so that the good work that's being done doesn't get undone?
Can I leap in there again?
Yeah.
It's Leon. Basically, the thing is that it's like charismatic heads who come in, who turn a school around and then go. You need to establish a set of strategic structures that lead to that happening over several years. So you get it into the culture of the school. There's no other way you can do it, because you can just come in, make your mark, do amazing things, you're off, and then everyone's left in the blue, really. Mm-hmm. So you need sustainability strategies, and you need to seed it with core people within the senior management team.
Leo?
Those are the main things.
Yeah, could I just come in there? It's very true, and it's something funny. If I was discussing with Alana King, my main colleague in New Zealand, and on a smaller scale, simply the point of she'd been working hard with her class, because their school year finishes in December and starts up again in February, and when half of her class moved on, she suddenly realised that the next door class, the teacher there, has been shown blogging, but they don't do blogs. So half of the kids that were there going, we blog every week, we blog, you know, every other day, suddenly were in a situation where they didn't. And it's my fear again with our school. I've got my next door class, who's a relatively young teacher, has started her own blog, which is great, on Blogspot. But then I don't know what's going to happen to these kids when they go to year four. Next year up there, whether they're going to have anything, unless I can push it out, unless it becomes embedded, as you say, with everybody, it's one of these things which happens in pockets, which is a big problem.
Yeah, exactly. Right then, we have approximately 5 minutes before I need to go and do some family business. So to wrap things up, that's how I think. What's the best collaborative tool that you've used, and how can that be used by, you know, the rest of us in our normal day-to-day either teaching or collaboration opportunities or anything like that? I'll go last.
That's your prerogative.
This is Aaron in the States again. I think that's, I hate to tell you this, but I think that's a very loaded question. My dad always told me the right tool for the right job. And depending on how you want your kids to do something that's collaborative, you're going to want a blog, or you're going to want a wiki, or you're going to want a podcast, and not all of them can be used for the same thing. There's a little bit of overlap. But
sorry, Alvin, I'll clarify the question then. what is the best outcome you have had from using a collaborative tool, either with your students or with fellow colleagues?
Well, for me, it's just blogging, to be honest. Just to go back to what you're saying about communities, what I've been trying to do in my school is, clearly, because you can't just have like the one teacher who is, you know, doing all this whizzy stuff, but then no one else is getting on board. I've been really encouraging my colleagues to get on board to create their own blogs. We've got about four or five blogs now in the school in various subjects, and I'm hoping that, you know, that more teachers will come on board, and I'm really trying to get the kids, you know, on board, because they're always, you know, they're using, you know, Bebo and what have you at home. Like about three quarters of the kids in Key Stage 3, Year 7, Year 8 have got Bebo accounts, and I'm just making them aware of the potential of using blogs in education and getting their views on it. And so far it's going very well. I've written quite a few recent blog posts about that, actually, to sort of, you know, setting up local blogs and how that helps, and things like using widgets from Widgetbox, so creating your blog into a widget and then putting that on, if you like, associated blogs in your local area. That seems to have really helped on the Isle of Wight anyway, not only in our own school, but there's a blog called carasbloggers.typepad.com, which is a local primary school. And the lady there, Cara Ward, who set it up, she came to the conference I organised in October and was, you know, got really into blogging and podcasting. And she's like the person, if you like, there, who's then done this excellent blog with photo slideshows and MP3s and what have you. Mm-hmm. And she's put the links to all our blogs on her blog. And our staff left comments on her blog and vice versa. So it's really cool. So I think that, you know, if you like starting locally, obviously it's on the internet, so anyone in the world can add comments. But I think personally blogging, anyway, in our situation, is the way we're going forward to try and create a community and, to nurture that community so that more people come on board.
George, just a quick question. Would you say, if you were going to give some advice, let's say you went into a department, you went into a modern languages department, and you said, I think you should set up a blog. Would you say that a department blog would be the best way forward, or individual ones?
That's a great question. I think to start off with, maybe a department blog. I think what language teachers need to see, or teachers in general, is lots and lots of examples of different blogs. That's why I really like the work of Adam Sutcliffe up in the Gordon Schools in Huntley, Aberdeenshire, because he's got like four blogs on the go. All with different
places. You put
them
in the chat room. Just put them in the chat room, Fletcher.
Well, hang on.
Eventually, not now.
No, okay. He's got like four blogs going. I did an interview with him a while ago. I'll put the link to that, to the interview, because that will have all the stuff in it. And what he's done, he's, as I said, created these four blogs. I think what teachers need to see is they need to see lots of examples, because as we all know, like, teachers are very, very busy people, and they want to see, it's all very well, you know, hearing someone talk about it. You need to see examples. I did an inset at our school a couple of weeks ago, which I've recorded the audio for, which again I can put up here. And what happened in that session was I got the no-till bloggers, as I'd like to call them, to be interviewed, or to do like a little presentation, if you like, of their blogs in front of everybody, because we had, you know, the staff at my school was about 35 people, something like that, and then say it was four or five people, whatever, were discussing their own blogs. And I think that's really, really important, so that people see that it's not just, let's say, a languages thing that can be used right across the curriculum. What I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to, like getting the kids on board, encourage the staff to see how they can use it in their subjects. And then this week, because we've got, or last week, I mean, because we've got like year 8 SATs. So it means that we've gone form based. I'm a year 7 teacher, so we've gone form based for a lot of the week. So we've had a lot of like, if you like, project time. And during that time, I've been podcasting. It's just really about raising awareness, really. But I'm delighted that at our school, there's about, you know, five people, as I said, so far that have come on board. There's probably going to be a Spanish blog as well.
Yeah,
that's going to be happening, and maybe I really hope something's going to happen in literacy. There's also a certain self-interest, and if you're talking about sort of ring fence money, I mean, I don't want to mention any names, but if you've got, say, ring fence money, then they will, that organisation could make sure that But yes, that, you know, let's say people that are affiliated to that organisation will benefit from that training, but it won't be necessarily universal.
Yeah. So I agree with that. I mean, sorry, I just wanted to say I try and stay very independent as a consultant because of that, because I can see the traps they're in, and I have to be really careful in my professional life at my level. Because I can then move between different scenarios, so I can actually say the things that other people can't say in many ways, so I get away with it.
You get that, I'd say, certainly in sixth form colleges. You know, I've just gone for a job at a local college where, you know, state sector, same level of education, and one college has got a surplus budget of nearly £550,000. And at our school, I've just asked for £60 to go on a blended learning conference, and we have no CPD money for this year. So how can one, you know, and there is that, whether it be ring-fenced money, Joe, you know, a friend of mine teaches at a specialist sports college, and, you know, they're spending their money just because it's left to spend. And then you've got another school up the road from us who is struggling with the fact that a school that, so their feeder school have got one-to-one laptops, and they have no ICT policy for their year seven kids.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. And it seems everything seems very dysfunctionally on, and I don't envy the position you're in. Only that your thoughts can be true and can be expressed.
Well, as you said yourself, you know, that you're self-taught. If you like, I'm totally self-taught as well. Yeah, I've got contacts, let's say, with, you know, in various organisations I know. But, you know, the bottom line is I'm a full-time teacher, and I'm just trying to go with my gut feelings on a lot of these things and see how they're going to help. You know, how different tools can help learning. And I think that that's why people seem to trust what I say, if you like, on my blog, because of the fact that they know I'm a full-time teacher. I think that people, that seems to carry a lot of kudos, which is nice.
Hello. I am still here. Don't worry, Chris.
All right. Sorry, Paul.
I'm just busy fiddling with other things. As old people can't always keep up with all this stuff. I'm trying to get my fingers to work. I'm listening. Okay. Excuse the old gentleman, Joe.
Well, I've come across you in a couple of times, and I don't think it's fair that you say that, because I enjoyed your voice thread, and you've certainly been putting yourself about, and I think that the big thing that I've learned from yourself is how that these technologies are used across the boundaries. I've heard with enthusiasm how Joe uses it with his students, how you use it with your students, and that paying attention video. I'm sorry if Aaron's gone, but that powered.
I'm still here.
Where did that powdered down comment come from? Because I first saw it in that video from the guy from Washington, was it?
It's been floating around for a while. I don't know where it first showed up. I think a news story somewhere.
Because, you know, that was the first time I've heard it. And then, Joe, I've heard you hear it, speak about it tonight. But our kids...
Right. I heard it from Ewan first. Ewan McIntosh is the guy I heard from first. But I don't know where he got it from.
But, you know, our kids are not coming into college now because they would rather work from home, because they can get on and work and they don't get distracted, and they'd rather work on their PCs at home, which, I mean, we joke about the hamsters in the machines aren't spinning the wheel fast enough. I mean, that's how bad some of our, you know, the IT provision is in our college, you know. And, okay, so we've tested the waters. If a kid jumps onto a chat room that's hosted within the wiki, I know that they're working and they're working on task. And the most interesting thing that students said, that when they worked like that, they learnt from one another, they corrected one another, and I'm sorry to say, the students with less talent were really showed up in a way that I've never seen in marking their work. Because, you know, they write their work and maybe mum helps them or dad helps them or the other students help them. And all of a sudden, they were completely exposed and it was live. You know, so... But, you know, the students are, you know, our older students are voting with their feet.
Yeah.
I guess if Leon's still there, he would have heard of all the not school stuff that Steve Heppel did.
Oh, yes. I know
that similar effect.
From way back. I mean, yes. I mean, it really was cost effective. It was the one thing. I mean, I think you had to have failed so many times, and the only sort of entry level you have was that you could text. And the results, the outcomes from that were amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, have you heard about the school in Portsmouth that's running a 24-hour clock and a 365 year?
No, I haven't, no.
I don't know too much about it, but there's a school in Portsmouth that was really close to special measures, and a new head's come in, and she said, right, you know, if the kids aren't getting here at 8:30,
let's make the day start at 10 and we'll get them in from 10 till 6. And almost the kids have to, you know, do their allotted time in school, and a lot of it's interactive, and they've got some support from a local internet provider, and they've gone for a completely different package, and the staff almost work on a very flexi time type timetable.
Mm. No, I've not heard about that. It sounds interesting. You but know, I think... sorry, go on.
I was going to say that a lot of the new academies, because they're sort of funded by philanthropists and people sort of move in there, they can actually remodel everything that's being done. I did a film of one of them on Learn for Life, the guys in Westminster Academy, which won a North Westminster school. They don't have subject teaching until 14 now, and they have a foundation degree at sixth form.
Fantastic.
So, you know, I mean, that kind of ability to be allowed to take those risks, to be allowed to sort of fragment or rework the way people work is really important, I think.
I mean, yeah, personally, I'm not at that point, if you like, at the moment. I mean, I really believe in the potential of you know, blogging and podcasting for distance learning, but I'm not really, at the minute, into the idea of sort of 24-hour school and not having to, like, come into school. I think the whole, you know, social interaction or what have you is absolutely vitally important. I know I'm not saying anything, you know, that's groundbreaking, but I think where I'm at the moment is seeing how, or encouraging teachers to use things like, particularly podcasting, I suppose, to, you know, create audio files which are personalised, if you like, you know, just using a microphone and, say, Audacity, and then creating, like, resources from that and seeing how the kids react. I've been doing a bit of podcasting with, like, vocab podcasts to help the kids with their spelling test, whereby I create, like, a Word document which I upload so they can download that, and then they can listen to my my lovely voice at the same time reading out the vocab. And I got really inspired by a guy, Volker Green, who's in Bristol. He's head of languages in a city academy in Bristol. And we did about an hour and a half interview when I was there, just before I spoke at the Primary Languages Conference at the West of England University in Bristol. And it was absolutely inspiring. And, you know, he was in the process of doing a master's on podcasting, but unfortunately he had to give it up because he was too busy. You know, he'd really thought about how, you know, to put a podcast together in relation to, you know, sort of for either teaching grammar or as a revision guide, if you like. And I just found that sort of thing absolutely fascinating. I got really inspired and then tried stuff out with my own kids. And I find that the most important thing, where I'm at the moment anyway, is just asking the kids what they think and getting them involved by getting to express, you know, how we could use these sorts of things across the curriculum or how they're using it themselves. And just, you know, just by asking the kids how they're using ICT at home. I mean, again, I teach in a middle school, so that, like, the oldest kids are like year 8, 13 years old. But a lot of the time, you know, they're looking at Bebo, they're doing their homework, they're using MSN and stuff like that. And you know, there's no reason, I'm not suggesting we use MSN, but certainly Flash Meeting. I did a Flash Meeting as part of this training that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago with Sylvia Tolisano, who you may know of, who's a Spanish teacher in Jacksonville in Florida. And it was the first time we'd ever had a video conference at the school. So it's like, you know, a historic moment, if you like, which I was, you know, delighted about. And and again, just examples to teachers showing how this sort of thing can be used. To me, it's like, you know, let's not, you know, run before we can walk. I think, you know, at the minute, let's just show lots and lots of examples of how these can be used in practical, real situations across the curriculum. And that's what will get people bored, I think.
Sure.
It's all very well being whizzy with people. There are quite a few people now who are, you know, if you like, gurus or really good at what they're doing, but that's all very well. But you've got to get that to filter down to people who are, you know, intelligent teachers, but who maybe you're just not into this sort of thing, or maybe you're scared of computers or what have you. I mean, I knew full well that before I did the training, that in my staff, which is typical of any staff, you're going to have different levels of ICT expertise. And I spent absolutely hours and hours putting together the presentation. And a few people, you know, sort of spoke to me beforehand saying, you know, I hope you don't think I'm thick or you know, whatever about you know, being able to cope with this sort of training. But I said, no, not at all. It doesn't matter. The whole point is we can work together and within our school. There are lots of people who are very happy to work together, and we know that people have got different levels of expertise, but the bottom line is, if you work together, that's how things work, that's how things move forward. So I was delighted the way the meeting went, but I was very concerned about it, you know, before I started, if you like, that they were just going to think, well, this is just really geeky, and you know, and this has got nothing, you know, it says nothing to me about my life, to quote a Smiths track, you know, but in fact, I was trying to show it very much does, so, and it seems to have worked, and it has been more of a buzz about this sort of stuff, and more people are talking about it, and that's how we're going to move forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. But the other side of the coin is that, you know, I'm sure everyone's got a mobile and they can use it. And the reason why that's a useful technology is because it's transparent and it's ubiquitous. Yeah. And we want to get to the stage where this technology is transparent, it's ubiquitous. You have acceptable use policies in place. And then you can turn around to people and say, right, you know, let's try this out. And there's no fab factor, because no one's going to block what you're trying to do. And then you can actually take it up in small increments with exemplars. I totally agree. Take people from one comfort zone to what I call another comfort zone, basically, until they realize that they've moved on almost seamlessly. And it's a very hard thing. But you can't do one without the other. You need the strategic acceptance, and you also need the sort of, and I keep championing this, you need people who are using ICT to be given credence and to be given earmarked funding within the SDP, the development plan, and to sort of push that, keep pushing that in terms of how you can save on the school's time and on all those bits of paperwork and stuff like that. In the long run, it really needs to be strategic, as well as coming from the ground up. You're saying to senior managers, look, if you try this,
yeah, absolutely. But I can't see that happening for a couple of years.
Leon, it's Paul here. Would there be? I mean, looking at everybody that's here, most people have fallen into this accidentally and found their own way. I mean, Joe's the same. I'm the same. Gradually develop links and join with other people of the same mind. There must be some way of umbrellaing all of this to give more of a holistic view for people from the outside, because otherwise the fact of trying to get people in where everybody thinks, well, it's a closed book, there are these people doing these things and nobody else understands. It must be some way of getting it so that people can see it in one place almost.
At the moment I'm working for NACE, but I mean, I do work for other organisations. But I've got to say, it's probably going to have to come from you. And it's going to have to be built up in an ad hoc way until people start taking cognizance of it in government. And basically, whenever you've got to hook into something or someone who can leverage things, then you really do have to sort of work through that. I can't see it happening any other way until it's... You see, for example, I have a wiki up of all the blogs, because I copied Ewan's one for England. Now people have been adding to that, but then you know, you get something like NCSL, the National College for School Leadership, come along. They say, where are the exemplars of people using blogs? We want them. So I give them this list and they go, great, and then they hide it away and they don't give it to anyone. It's just drives me crazy.
It's very frustrating from the other side as well, because where they're going, well, you know, it's, you get pockets of things, and then actually getting it linked up is really quite difficult. Which is why I just gave up in the end and thought, right, well, we'll go and talk to the world. Forget about trying to talk to people closer to home. go and talk to people of a like mind wherever they come from.
Can I ask a nice simple question? You know, I agree. I think mobile phones are going to be probably going to come before PDAs and laptops. I think they're very accessible. And I tried to pop on to Joe that the post that you made there. Mobile phones in classes, we went through this whole phase at Taunton's College where they were definitely, you know, not allowed, must be turned off, in bags. And by chance, one of the students, we were doing a quiz, and the phone went off. And it was a text message with a peculiar ringtone. We've now been using phones as quiz buzzers, and that has got to be the simplest use of a mobile phone, and it is fantastic. It's funny, and it's as simple can be.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think it's as much as being inventive with the technology, and maybe seeing things a little bit different.
Christian, have you seen John Johnson's stuff from Sandagon, his mob-logging trip to the Netherlands? where they they posted back from the Netherlands live these little short snippets with the kids, and the parents were making comments, and the kids were making comments automatic from wherever, from Holland, where they were on their trip. It's quite good. I'll see if I can find the dig the link out.
Leon?
I draw your attention to the Learn for Life side, because I went to the EduCause text conference, and now they're a commercial firm. They do Moodle, and basically it's been in HENFE for 3 years, and they're finding interesting uses of text. One of the really interesting uses I saw there was they had a polling podcast server up,
yeah,
a video podcast server. And at the top of the hour, they would send out messages to students on the phones, alerting them that new content was up. The way I saw it used was, say, 14 to 16 students or older building a go-kart in stages, in part works. So 1 week there'd be a PDF up and a video of how you actually put one part into another. And then it would poll out to the students, and they would turn up to do that. Very interesting use of the sort of blend of technologies, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, you've got a full scope there, haven't you? From a text phone buzzer through to, you know, some really quite inventive stuff, you know. And then I don't know really enough about it. And then the other day I contacted a guy who had something called Light Feeds, you know, offering free mobile RSS readers and ways to contact the kids, you know, with just updated information that you can send direct to their phone. You know, that I think the colleges are slowly, and I don't know so much about the schools, communicating with the kids, especially for things like missing exam dates and, you know, just some really practical things. I don't think there is a single student at Taunton's College 16 to 19 that doesn't have access to at least one phone. It's just getting the right number of the many phones that they have.
Yeah, I mean, for mobile phones, the person that I know of that's doing amazing work in the UK is Lynn Horn up at Tobermory High School, she's like the principal teacher, principal of the languages department there, and she's using phones for things like for recording audio. So like the kids are like chanting verbs, for example, and she's recording it, and then she's getting them to Bluetooth it across to her laptop. And then like presentations and dialogues and whatever, but she's getting them to Bluetooth it over to her laptop with a Bluetooth dongle. I've never done this myself, but
yeah,
I've talked about it quite a lot because I've been inspired by her talking about it. Anyway, so you just put them in the USB port, and then it'll just transfer it across, so no wires, and then they do assessment for learning on, you know, what was good about it, what was not good. And you could do the same thing with video as well. You could take video with a mobile phone and transfer it across. So what I'm suggesting, maybe instead of letting the kids use their phones, because you've got problems with them recording, you know, something that you don't necessarily want them to record, that the teacher uses their own mobile phone. So you have one mobile phone, and then you record, you know, say, as I said, dialogues or whatever in languages, and then zap it across using Bluetooth. I believe there's a problem with if you've got, say, 10 phones all trying to zap at the same time, that you'll have to have like a queuing system. That's why it might be better just to have, say, the warm phone, and that would be really cool. You know, the link that I've just sent through with mobile phones, that's all the things I've blogged about mobile phones within, you know, I don't know, since I started the blog. And Lynn appears quite a lot there. She spoke at the Communicate.07, which is like a Scottish conference for language teachers and ICT in March, and she did a really good presentation. I mean, she didn't podcast it, unfortunately, but she did a PowerPoint from her presentation on mobile phones, which you can download. If you just go to my post called communicate.07, which I'll find out for you, then it's all there. And there's also a at the bottom of the of that post, there's a link to a Scottish blog who's also done like a summary of Lynn's session, as well as the other sessions at the conference. I mean, I was really, I really wish I could have gone to it, but unfortunately, you have to be a Scottish teacher to go. But maybe Ewan said that maybe next year that, you know, they'll open it up a little bit. But anyway, that's the link. I've just sent it through. And I think, I think mobile phones are very exciting, certainly.
I think you're fine, you know, Joe, just in this conversation, we've probably thrown out, and I think Doug hit the point on the head, you know, there's just so much, and we could spend a whole week going through all these fantastic resources, and I think maybe, you know, as best I can, you know, we'll put together a schedule of saying, okay, let's deal with one point at a time, and let's cover it as fully as we can, and then maybe to take it in turns, yes, either to blog or to put it out through the school networks, you know, just one basic PDF file, you know, here is some good practice, and be able to send those back to Leon, you know, because I do think there's a future in it. And I think, you know, some subjects more than others, language, fantastic, you know, and these kids with this facility should be talking to kids, you know, in their native tongue and getting to know one and make friends and make lifelong friends. I think it's more than just, you know, education for passing exams. I don't know how you feel about that, Joe.
No, definitely.